Workplace conflict is a common and unavoidable part of work. No matter how hard we try to avoid it, it is just another conversation about the views, ideas, stories, and beliefs we have and come in with. With a focus on women, a scope is put on to examine some of the factors that lead to workplace conflict, the reasonings behind them, and the way conflict navigation happens. Is there a way to resolve conflict and manage expectation in a way that keeps your integrity intact? Let's dive into that and more on this episode. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Talk with Clads podcast. Your host is Katie Ann, an island girl on a journey with her guests to learn about their backgrounds, businesses, passions, experiences, life lessons, and wins. Come and laugh, cheer, learn, and plan with us. My friend, take some time to come and talk with Clads.
Conflict in the workplace. If you're experiencing conflict in your workplace, you aren't alone. This turns out that you might actually be in the majority. According to a Forbes article of April this year, as many as 85% of employees experience some kind of conflict. It also turns out that it's quite an expensive problem. The same Forbes article states a Pollock Peacebuilding System study that shows employees at U.S. companies spend approximately 2.8 hours each week involved in the conflict. Oh my God. That amounts to around 359 million in hours, and that's dollars, by the way. So $359 million in hours paid that are filled with and focused on conflict and conflict resolution instead of productivity. So think about like how many times you're at work and you've heard about conflict, you've seen conflict, and you've experienced conflict. That equals dollars. So workplace conflict is inevitably when you have people from all walks of life with different social backgrounds, working styles, and personalities coming together, or they're brought together for a shared business purpose. They're becoming increasingly rampant due to the current social political landscape, access to various information, and racial inequity discussion at work. This is the big picture, right? This is the big picture. So let's try to break it down. Conflict can occur in organizations when employees with different backgrounds and priorities work together. It can also be expressed in many ways, like passive aggressiveness, insults, non-cooperation, bullying, and anger. I remember, personal example, when myself, my colleagues, because we worked really well together, and it made another group uncomfortable, and we were all minorities, we were referred to as a clique. We were far from a clique. We worked really well together, we would share ideas, and I think maybe we should have had more inclusivity looking back, and we did. We offered like, hey, do you want to join us? Do you want to work on this? But it was always so met with passive aggressiveness, and then the name, normally, a lot from especially for minorities, you hear for women, it's always a clique. And then for men, it's always a gang. So we have to be careful about how we refer to different groups. And just all of that includes diversity training.
Do you want to provide a memorable experience at your event? Book Pinbounce at 561-727-5488.
Pinbounce offers bounce houses, cotton candy machines, tables, chairs, and other event services in Palm Beach County, Florida. We offer all you need in one place. Follow us on social media using @Pinbounce, and to book your event, call us at 561-727-5488. Remember, we put the P in party with the Pinbounce touch.
Go Pinbounce!
Let's get this straight. I'm not an advocate for conflict or disruption. But to a small degree, conflict is normal and healthy. Emphasis on small. A lot of people see it as a dynamic ingredient to organizational success. Think about the most effective relationships that where the person feels safe enough to disagree with someone else. It's like saying, get everything off your chest and trash it out, but you aren't punished. It only strengthens your relationship. It's the same for workplace vitality. A workplace culture where dissent is allowed and encouraged can spur innovation, diversity of minds and thoughts, and better decision making. Why do I use the word relationship? Because conflict under the surface is about our relationship, our identities and beliefs. It's those things we keep our mouth shut about, boil beneath the surface, and erupt with the right provocation. I agree on this one 100%. I mean, it's coming from my mouth. Again, I repeat, emphasis on small. Conflict becomes unhealthy when it becomes aggravated, personal, and emotional. Good conflicts lead to better results and higher levels of trust, but bad one leads to lower and bad results. The difference is at the heart of the conflict, the bone of contention, the problem, right? So, like, what are some of the causes of workplace conflict? Some fights can be over resources like budgets, incompatible goals, and structural changes and reforms in the company. So some perspectives of like, and also conflicting perspectives. What can lie in the center is an increasingly global and diverse workplace with people from different racial, ethnic, social, educational, gender, personality, political views that can be a foundation for disagreements and conflicts. Now, how can, like, I'm a woman in the workplace, so I'm going to speak from the perspective of a woman. How can women successfully navigate conflicts in the workplace? And I've spoken about workplace conflict in general, but right now I want to shift the focus to women because that is my view, my perspective. I can't speak on the perspective of a man because I don't identify as a man and I identify as a woman and I'm a woman, okay? So I want to shift the focus to women. To be a woman in the workplace means to let your talent and passion for your work thrive regardless of age, looks, gender. It means pushing for results and answers even when you're being ignored and put down based on the stereotypical standards societies hold on women. Yes, yes, people, in this golden age of diversity and inclusivity, we are being encouraged to join in. Lean in at the table or create your own table. We've seen books on it, right? But yet this sometimes, like, well, we're encouraged to join in, but even as the corporate world has tried to encourage women to join in, there are many barriers, big and small, that make it hard for women to thrive and succeed in the workplace. The need to belong, to be liked, and to be competent is so high that navigating conflict in the workplace is now a niche skill, a necessity to have in your pocket to succeed, especially in corporate America. So earlier I made the point that conflicts are relationship-based, which means there's an emotional attachment to them. When poorly handled, we feel attacked and resentful. If taken well, it can be a stepping stone to advance. That's why in many ways, the cards that are stacked against women, particularly women of color, women generally have to work harder, better, and brighter than men to get the bare minimum to be seen. And speaking from example, I'll tell you this. I'm very assertive. I believe in working smarter, not harder. And I shouldn't say a lot of the feedback because that would be not very factual. But one feedback that a colleague of a different race said to a friend of mine. I'd introduced him to a friend of mine. So he had moved from one market to another market, and I really wanted to see him succeed and just to network. And he was moving to the big city, and she had all the connections. He said to her, I really like Katie-Ann. Like, she's so, like, she's about her goal. She wants to get this done. She want to do this, but she's so aggressive. And my friend was also of the same race as him. She was not a minority, let's put it that way. And so she was sharing this feedback because she herself was offended by it. And so he saw my assertiveness as aggressiveness. And that's something that women that are minority are always, it's a stereotype. You can't be assertive. How dare you speak up? How dare you go after whatever the goals are? I had another male said to me, you know, Katie, why do you work so hard? Like, why can't you just come in and do this? It's like he wanted me to do just the bare minimum, which is what he was doing and doing it very successfully. But that's not part of my DNA. But unfortunately, my professional experience has been that that's not an uncommon feedback being a woman who's a minority. In many small and glaring ways, we have different approaches and strategies from men. For example, a 2013 study done by Women in Research examined the behavior of male and female managers as third parties in dispute resolution. The results showed that women compared to men who took on the role of a third party could facilitate an outcome that was both acceptable to the disputants and met the organization's interests. The study also showed that women managers showed less influential, powerful, and autonomous behaviors and always adjusted their behavior according to the power embedded in their role. Women who negotiate are sensitive to their leadership context, and when resolving matters, they show empathy and respect. So, are these attributes more due to the fact of socially constructed gender norms? Women are often seen as peacemakers within an organization, choosing conflict avoidance strategies because we experience greater anxiety and discomfort from conflict than men and have lower tolerance for disagreement. Women are intimate and relational in conversation, whereas men tend to be more assertive, direct, confrontational, braggadocious, and compromising. Women are trusted to better deal with sensitive and emotional issues. But that is women trying to avoid or comfort men in the workplace. But what about women against women, right? Don't be surprised. We fight and misunderstand ourselves as well. A study shows that over 40% of bullies in the workplace are women. Let that one sink in. Interestingly, women target other women in conflict over 70% of the time. How? We communicate less directly, hinting at the problem, going behind backs to talk instead of cutting the chase. Women have different personalities, experience, views, and beliefs like humans. In the melting pot of workplace diversity, women with different ideas and experiences will likely have different workplace challenges and career obstacles. The obstacles are due to like the different stereotypical biases against them because of social identities, which make it difficult for them to adjust, cope, and thrive. So I'm sure you might have heard or even said, I get along with the men I work with. It's the woman I have trouble with. I've heard that so many times. If I had a dollar for every time that I heard that, I'd be a millionaire by now. The culture in the media, be it books or movies, depicts the idea that women are disposed of due to nature or nurture, or both to be hostile and competitive with other women. But the truth is not because of some internally motivated female tendency to be antagonistic to other women. It's because of the nature of differing social identities and the highly gender nature of the workplace. We're kind of pitted against each other at times. So gender workplaces are controlled and dominated by men. And I like to say a lot of that, I don't know if that's just my experience. A lot of times I'll see like the leaders are men, and then the supporting team is for the most part female. So gender workplaces are controlled and dominated by men. In such places, women's advancement and opportunities are far more limited than men. And as a result, women are forced to compete with one another for access to the resources needed to boost their careers. To be honest, this happens everywhere. So this environment becomes toxic instead of welcoming and supportive. Women also complain about their female bosses, calling them cold and uncaring. But think about it. With many sectors filled with male leaders, it's not uncommon for female leaders to act the same way as the male boss. If they want their projects to be done directly and keep their positions. So think about it from the leader's perspective, right? A sense of empowerment, freedom, and community is to be felt with a woman in leadership guiding the rest. Still, the expectations from you can't match the expectations from the bosses, and that's why these expectations can lead to conflict. So how can these stereotypes about women leaders and the women who work for them break? Understanding and knowledge. The woman who works as a leader need to understand the pressures women leaders face. Most of them want to try and do a good job and create an avenue for more women to enter, but that only happens when the leaders can do a good job. Women leaders also need to pay attention to gender stereotype in the workplace and try to make themselves available to someone like who's more junior for counseling and mentorship succession. I was listening to someone speak, and she said, I am mentor, but I also sponsor. And I asked, what do you mean by sponsor? She said, I set women up for success. When they're not in the room, I speak about them. If I see a position open, I speak about them. I sponsor them. And I really, really love that concept. And I feel like more women should mentor and sponsor. So there's a way to be liked yet respected for the work ethic. Speaking for the differing social identities, the first and foremost intersectional difference socially is race. And that affects Black women and white women's workplace relationship. Dare to disagree, right? Can we dare to disagree? Dare to disagree, but most of all, you'll be angry that no group of women is more disadvantaged in career pursuits than Black women. This is a fact. According to a 2019 article published on the Porchlight website, as of 2016, Black women constituted 13.4% of the women in the United States, but only 1.3% of executives and senior level managers compared to 22% of white women. So let me repeat that statistic. So Black women constituted 13.4% of women in the United States, but only 1.3% of executives and senior level members or managers compared to 22% of white women. Black women have lower promotion rates than comparable qualified white women, experience job segregation, and feel more pressure to modify their physical appearance and attitude while having to dream small and accept the status quo. And I can give you an example without saying where this was. I was in corporate America position, and I guess you would say like I fit what they wanted the Black person to look like. So the long hair that is not necessarily mine, but paid for, so I guess you can say it's mine, but it's not growing from my head. And the sample, let's say the sample size. So we used to be referred to as like the Charlie's Angels because we fit a certain look. Myself and my other colleagues that were not necessarily Black, but we were all sample size, all the flowing hair and makeup to the gods to kind of have that type of look, right? And I felt like I needed to look like that to be successful. And so we had someone else that was hired that she wasn't sample size. She was thicker, which a lot of Black women are, women in general. And she wore her natural hair and she had the bright lipstick. And I would say she was more like the what people would say is natural, the stereotype of what is natural. And I can't tell you how many times I had a senior manager asking me to coach, because she was junior to me, asking me to coach her to be what they felt that organization's look was supposed to be. And it was one of the most uncomfortable experiences that I have experienced in my professional life, because I couldn't believe that it was happening. And I was probably at the beginning or the early stages of my career, so I wanted to succeed, but I stood up because I felt like if I allowed to say, what is this organizational, what the manager, and I'm not saying that like this came from the CEO, but that this came from my department, which was is a position of influence, that was saying, oh, you need to talk to her about her look, you know? And I'm like, what is the look? Define the look. Like, we are human beings. It's actually a discrimination. And so I guess in the early stages, I felt like I was about change, because I have a daughter and I don't want someone to single her because of how she looked. So those are stereotypes are one reason why the experiences and views of white and Black women differ. Women generally are stereotypically seen as caring, pleasant, and modest, but rather than seen as communal. So Black women are seen as the angry Black woman or the mammy. I think anyone sees me as a mommy, as a mammy, but I guess. White women are seen as soft because they are seen as communal. They can also be seen as hard to be likable when they act decisively and independently. So the dilemma for white women is to appear just right, projecting confidence without appearing too soft or hard. And then for Black women, it is to be perceived as a competent and confident, not aggressive, without being labeled the mammy or angry Black woman. So different strokes for different colors. So what differentiates women from men when handling and navigating conflict? Give women their props. We are communal and desire a warm environment where people can work peacefully. Yes, we might hate each other a lot. I hate to say that when it comes to workplace dynamics, but some things make us navigate this difficult situation called conflict. Active listening. Women are nurturing and empathetic towards other people and situations. Part of that requires listening and relating to the stories we listen to. Active listening focuses on being attentive to what the other person says, including having an open mind about views and experience. Emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence describes the ability to perceive and understand other people's emotions as well as yours. Women are more emotional than men, and that gives them an edge to interpret situations better. Patience. Women are also a little bit more patient. Oh my God, please. Yes, we are. I know. Don't throw the tomatoes at me, man, but it's true.
CLAD's resources and consulting values its customers. Our planner Footsteps to My Vision is a 13-month planner that can be used for 5 years. It walks you through SMART goals, SWOT analysis, action planning, and holds you accountable through 3 monthly check-ins. We work only with top quality materials, innovative designs, and verified suppliers, which are guaranteed to deliver to our high expectations, because when it comes to our customer satisfaction, there's no room for compromise.
made with high-quality PU leather and paper planner, helps you focus on achieving your goals by giving you a sense of personal and professional satisfaction. Some of the amazing features of this product: Vision Board Planner, luxury pen, 8GB USB flash drive, wireless mouse, ultra elegant packaging box, available in 5 stunning colors: black, red, gold, pink, navy blue. Material: PU leather, 13-month planner, elastic band for easy handling. Our Footsteps to My Vision is available at Amazon, Facebook, Instagram, our website, and at Walmart. You may also follow us at www.cladsresources.com, Instagram, Clads Resources, Facebook, www.facebook.com/cladsresources/.
Women can sit for hours analyzing stories, and you have men that do that too, but statistically, we're speaking on true statistics. They can sit for hours analyzing stories and views shared, especially when working on a project that requires diverse view. We don't have open communication because we tend to indirectly talk about the issues rather than attack them head on. Don't worry, that can be worked on, right? So how do you handle conflict without being put down? Speaking generally here, not just women, how do you handle conflict depends on variables like your internal compass, your unique experiences, and your position of power in the workplace. Leaving a conflict unaddressed and unresolved creates a wall between you and the other person. And that's bad as acting out and speaking out in anger. Sometimes there's no quick way to teach and learn how to resolve a conflict productively in the workplace. It requires practice and building new personal habits. What are some of the ways we can put conflict resolution into practice? We have to recognize what the conflict is about. A workplace example is when a manager feels a member of his or her team isn't delivering. While that may be true, it's also possible that team member feels the expectations are too idealistic instead of realistic, or that achieving a goal needs to be clearer. There are no delivery or proper communication channels, but the problem is more clarity is needed. So the moral lesson here is to dig out all possible reasons for the conflict. And while running a mental picture, you might see that while you're struggling with another person isn't what what you think the struggle is, it may be more to what the issue is about. So also identify when you're stuck. Right? So Kara Canfield, and I hope I'm pronouncing this name properly, is a conflict and collaboration consultant, says justification also often keeps us in conflict. If you want to be blameless in the situation, justify your reasoning and approach will be the go-to. But it doesn't serve you because you're doing the same thing with the same mindset every day rather than trying to be productive. Yes, justification is gratifying for you now, but it doesn't help you move forward. So stay curious in the face of differences. When you hear an idea you aren't familiar with, but you disagree with, don't immediately shut it down. Ask questions. Be curious and open to why the other person sees things the way they do, so you can be more accepting of information, comments, ideas, and strategy.
You're listening to Talk with Clads. Find more resources online at cladsresources.com. Now back to the show with your host, Katie Ann.
It's better than being defensive. So can an employer have a role in conflict resolution in the workplace? Of course. It all starts from the top. The employer in a workplace is responsible for the developing and implementing workplace conflict policies and procedures, and having a functioning conflict resolution program within or affiliated with the company or organization. They say prevention is a cure, right? Not saying we can outright prevent conflict, but the chances of it occurring can be reduced to the barest minimum. So how? By creating a thriving workplace culture that has the basis of strong employee relations grounded in fairness, trust, and mutual respect of all levels. It doesn't always require intervention from you, the employer. It also involves individual responsibility and the ability of employees to think independently, analyze a situation, and discuss a potential problem without looking down or disrespecting the other's person's background, knowledge, and experience. And you do have organization, they may have someone that deals with that, that's called an ombuds. Hopefully I can get someone who operates in that space to come and speak a little bit about what an ombuds does. But also the goal of this is also to kind of equip you with conflict in the workplace. So we can also build stronger employee relations. Conflict in the workplace is something that needs to be resolved quickly and equitable while trying as much as possible from happening from the outset. The foundation is employee relation based on fairness, trust, and mutual respect. So I'll briefly mention the tips for a strong employee relation. After all, it is a relationship between people. So interactive communication. It's a two-way street between employees and between employees and managers. Trust, ethics, fairness. We might still have a long way to go on this one, but all employees should be treated consistently under the same circumstances. Empathy. Empathy and beliefs and clear expectation, as well as a well-functioning environment. A well-functioning environment is one where employees, men and women, communicate with respect for the other person's background and knowledge without being offensive and disrespectful. Yes, women still have a long way to go in having more position in leadership roles, but we can make our points to be seen and manage conflict that when it happens. It's just one of the services that, guess what, CLAD's resources offer. Everyone matters, regardless of gender, race, and ethnic background. And as we say for the CLAD's motto, we put the human in HR. So thank you for listening, everyone, and taking the time to talk with CLAD's. Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening. Find us on social media at CLADS Resources and online at www.cladsresources.com. Our planner, Footsteps to My Vision, is also located on our website or on Facebook, Instagram, or Amazon. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share, and check back weekly for new episodes. Until next time, keep creating your footpath to your vision.